This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. This morning, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a broad-based energy bill into law. It's aimed at transitioning Illinois' electricity away from fossil fuels and toward renewable energy.
Together, we are making history today, taking a giant leap forward to mitigate the impacts of climate change, to establish the most aggressive clean energy standards in the Midwest, becoming the best state in the nation to manufacture and drive an electric vehicle, supporting the creation of thousands of clean energy jobs right here in Illinois, and protecting and advancing the interests of every Illinoisan, and making sure that we're anchoring it all in the values of ethics and equity and consumer protections.
Pritzker signed the legislation outside the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago with the downtown skyline as a backdrop for the cameras. Several workers from the Shedd were holding animals, including a snake on a stick, a visual representation of the natural world the legislation is aimed at conserving, someone said. Pritzker laid out what he views as the stakes of this.
We've seen the effects of climate change right here in Illinois repeatedly in the last 2.5 years alone. A polar vortex, devastating floods, microbursts that destroy buildings, record lake levels, extreme heat, and emergency declarations in more than a third of Illinois' counties. Declarations, frankly, that people have had to live through, these declarations of emergency that have destroyed people's lives and livelihoods in those counties. There is no time to lose.
The legislation had bipartisan support, but it was not unanimous. A number of Republicans, mostly downstate, say the legislation will cost jobs in their districts and lead to electricity price increases. That's a concern echoed by many in the business community. They also say taking fossil fuel plants offline in Illinois will not necessarily lead to a broader decrease in fossil fuel consumption. Because of that, Republican State Senator Chapin Rose from Mahomet, for example, questioned the sincerity of the people supporting the legislation.
Also, you guys can issue press releases that you're getting rid of carbon. Huzzah! We're clean and green! What's going to come back from Indiana and Kentucky, folks, is carbon! But we're going to pay more for it.
Joining us now to discuss the energy legislation and what it means for Illinoisans are Jennifer Walling, Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council. Jennifer, welcome back to the 21st. And while we see if we have Jennifer with us there, we're also joined by Mark Densler, who's the President and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Mark, welcome back to you as well.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And finally, Stephen Nesbitt is president of the American Nuclear Society, which is a professional organization of people who work in the field. Stephen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
And listeners, as ever, we want to invite you to join our conversation. Our lines are open at 800-222-9455. What do you think about Illinois' new renewable energy goals? Is it too quick, not quick enough? What do you think about a possible increase in electricity costs of anywhere from $2 to $15 per month, depending on who's doing the estimating, all in support of clean energy? And we can also just take your questions for any of our guests. Just give us a call now, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So, Jen Walling, are you back with us now from the Illinois Environmental
Council? Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's great. Yes.
That's
all right. Glad you're with us. I know you were with, I believe you were with the governor this morning at the Shedd Aquarium at the bill signing. But pardon the little wind noise in the background there. But can you tell us what are some of the things this legislation does? What are some of the highlights?
Absolutely, and I am leaving the Shedd Aquarium right now where the governor signed the bill. I'll be quieter in just a second. But I think that this legislation, much like we outlined when we introduced the Clean Energy Jobs Act, is a bill that is nation-leading in its climate and equity provisions. It's 100% renewable energy by 2050 with interim goals at 2030 and 2040 for renewables. It decarbonizes the power sector by 2045. That means Illinois will not be using fossil fuels in its power sector by 2045. It encourages the electrification of our transportation sector, and it has a number of programs to make sure that we are investing in our jobs workforce, particularly for Black and Brown members of our community who have lived in communities that have been purposely disinvested in with respect to the energy system.
Okay, we're going to give Jen a couple of seconds to sort of get a little more situated there. Thank you for that overview. Mark Densler, I'm going to turn to you now. President of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, what are the sort of big picture concerns of your members when it comes to this legislation?
Well, Brian, I appreciate the question, and it's extremely important. And first, I would say that manufacturers are strong supporters of sustainability and innovation when it comes to energy. And when you look at the manufacturing sector, we have reduced emissions more than any other sector since 1990. And actually, in the last decade, we've reduced emissions by 21% while increasing output by 18%. But when it comes to energy, manufacturers are the largest users. Nationally, we use 1/3 of all energy consumed in the United States. So the changes that were signed into law today have a profound impact on our sector. And we don't think there is a big enough debate on the impact on cost, but more importantly, reliability. Jen talked about closing all of the coal and gas facilities by a certain year. But if we don't have the technology in place by that time, which is something that the U.S. Department of Energy has warned about, then we're going to see the rolling brownouts and blackouts in Illinois, or as Senator Rose mentioned in your debate, we're going to have to buy this higher priced energy from other places.
All right. And I'm going to bring Stephen Nesbitt in. We need to take a break in about a minute here. But before we do, just in broad strokes, why is the American Nuclear Society applauding passage of Illinois' legislation here?
Brian, we're pleased that the bill recognizes the essential role of nuclear energy in our country's clean energy future. Dispatchable nuclear energy actually complements and enables other sources of clean energy that aren't as reliable 24/7 as we've become used to with coal and natural gas. I think Mark made a very good point there that you can't rush pell-mell into these transitions. You need to do it in a controlled manner. The nuclear plants have provided a huge amount of clean energy for Illinois over the past 30 and 40 years, and they will continue to do so for the immediate future. And I think that's a win for everybody in Illinois.
All right, we need to take a break here. We're going to continue our conversation and dive into some of the details on Illinois' green energy bill. We're speaking with Jen Walling, Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council, Mark Densler from the Illinois Manufacturers Association, and Stephen Nesbitt from the American Nuclear Society. You can join us, 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to get in on our conversation about the big green energy legislation signed this morning by the governor, 800-222-9455. More to come. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, Governor J.B. Pritzker this morning signed a large energy package into law aimed at transitioning Illinois away from fossil fuels and toward renewable energy sources over the coming decades. We're talking about this with Stephen Nesbitt, president of the American Nuclear Society, which supports the legislation, and Jennifer Walling, executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. They also were big backers of this legislation. And we're also speaking with Mark Densler, president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, which opposed the legislation in its final form. The number to join our conversation, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So, Jen, I want to ask you, what does this legislation mean for a lot of people are concerned about climate change, but they're also concerned about their electricity bills. We've seen estimates ranging anywhere from $2 a month to $15 a month. Where are you on how this much will directly affect the sort of bottom line of individual residential customers' electricity bills?
Yeah, so for residential customers, is the audio okay?
It sounds great. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. For residential customers, the Citizens Utility Board has put together numbers that estimate that it's about $3.50 a month on each person's electricity bill. Some of that is for the nuclear power. A lot of it is for the jobs and workforce programs. And so that's what we've put out. I know AARP has put out something that is much higher that we haven't seen any numbers for, any backing. And I think that when an average Illinoisan looks at their bill and what this is going to cost, I think there's both the items that they can take advantage of, like energy efficiency, and those energy efficiency programs are going to be increasing. Also, just more solar programs for people that want to participate in that, whether they're low income or folks that can more afford solar programs, to make sure that when we transition over to electric vehicles, they'll have the infrastructure to do that. But I think the thing that we can ask here, I mean, climate change is already costing us money, and a lot of money. And it's extreme in the costs that it causes to the people that it impacts. And so the question is, are we going to spend 10, 100, 1,000 times more money on doing nothing and just weathering the impacts of climate change? Or are we going to spend the small amount of money now to make sure that we're protected? Do we pay in dollars, or do we pay with our children's lungs? So that's the question that we have in front of us. And today we've chosen to minimize our costs and pay with dollars.
Mark Densler, can you respond to that? I mean, how do the manufacturers see that? I know there's concerns about, you know, some of the natural gas plants, I think, in particular, going offline, these peaker power plants that sort of provide energy in times of greater demand. I'll let you take that where you will.
Yeah, well, I think I would disagree with Jen when she calls it a minimal increase. This is $700 million a year and the largest electric rate hike in Illinois' history. And as I said, manufacturers use one third of energy. I would agree with Steve. Nuclear is an important component, and we support maintaining the nuclear facilities. And we also support grid infrastructure because reliability is extremely important for manufacturers and families to make sure that we have strong power sector and infrastructure. And so those parts of the bill are extremely important to the manufacturers. But some of our big concerns are really the rate subsidization. So the discussion about the Energy Transition Fund, what I would call kind of the social costs of the program, where they really cross-subsidized the manufacturing sector and made us pay exorbitantly compared to what the residential, even the commercial customers pay. And so we thought that was grossly unfair in the legislation to shift those costs onto someone else. And you really, as Steve talked about in the reliability, we just saw an article in the Wall Street Journal this week, energy prices in Europe hit records after the wind stopped blowing. So we have to make sure that we have these peaker plants that you talked about, Brian. So when we have the polar vortex or the extremely hot weather, we're able to turn those plants on to make sure that people, that families in their homes have power. You don't want to see a family without power when it's 20 below zero or it's 110 degrees out, because that can also impact a person's life and health. And so, again, we think there should have been a better balance to make sure that you have proper on-ramps and off-ramps, not just a hard automatic. We're going to close all these facilities at a certain date.
Stephen Nesbitt from the American Nuclear Society, I want to ask you about the nuclear component of this. There were hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be going to Exelon. They had said that they couldn't, their nuclear power stations, or several of their nuclear power stations anyway, were not competitive without this money from the state. Some are calling it a bailout. Can you talk about why are nuclear power stations not competitive on the free market?
Sure. And that's a little bit of a sweeping statement, because there's, in this country, there's really a lot of different electricity markets. And in many places, nuclear power plants compete very well, but in others, they're handicapped. And the primary disadvantage that nuclear power operates under is that current nuclear power plants receive no subsidies, no incentives, or anything like that from the government. In other words, they get no recognition for the fact that the energy that they generate is clean and carbon free. if you contrast that to other, some other power sources, for example, solar power and wind power, they have access to federal subsidies like incentive tax credits and production tax credits. And so it's very difficult to compete there. We know that natural gas has been very low priced in this country, although the prices are going up right now. And when if natural gas does not undergo any penalty whatsoever for the carbon emissions, then that puts nuclear at a disadvantage. But nuclear plants in this country are very well run. They operate at capacity factors well over 90%. Exelon in particular has a great reputation in terms of operating its nuclear power plants, and we hope to see them continue to do so far into the future.
And Illinois is the one of the biggest states, if not the biggest states, in terms of the share of power that comes from nuclear that's generated here, although not all of it is consumed here. Let me just take a moment to reintroduce my guests. We're speaking with Stephen Nesbitt, president of the American Nuclear Society, Mark Densler, who's president of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, and Jennifer Walling, executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. We're talking about the big clean energy legislation Governor Pritzker signed into law this morning, this hour, as we are going to air in the 11 o'clock hour on Wednesday morning. Let's talk a little bit more about the nuclear aspect of this. We asked our listeners and our text messaging group what they thought of this legislation. Denise sent in a text message saying, in part, it's about time. But then she also said, I would be happy to be rid of nuclear power. While clean, it has its own bad problems. She goes on to say she lives near a nuclear power plant. Every year they get a pamphlet about what to do in the event of a problem with the reactor. She says it's just too dangerous, such as how to dispose of and store the rods used safely. Steve, I'm going to come back to you on that. But Jen, let me ask you first, is nuclear energy clean energy in your view?
So nuclear energy we do not view as clean energy. It is carbon-free energy, doesn't produce carbon, but it has waste from the mining to the obviously radioactive waste that is created and will last for thousands of years. So no, our environmental organizations don't view it as clean, but when we're looking at the energy sector in Illinois, it is something that's going to be necessary for operation until we can get more wind and solar and other carbon-free renewable energy sources online.
And Steve, I want to ask you, and maybe I should say, I'm somebody, I've done some reading, a little bit of reading here and there on the fourth generation nuclear, and I'm interested in some of the stuff I've seen the Gates Foundation is investing in. I think there are, you know, opportunities for doing it differently, but at least as it stands now, what is your view on that when somebody says they're nervous about living near a nuclear power plant?
There is certainly a perception of risk that is out of proportion to the actual risk. When you talk about nuclear energy, and there's a lot of reasons for that, and we don't have time to go into them. But if you look overall at the actual data, you will see that nuclear energy is a very safe means of generating electricity, and the benefits of those electricity, the people that get them, are huge. Your listener mentioned the waste issue. The nuclear industry has a great record of safely storing its nuclear waste for many decades. There is a political issue associated with ultimate disposal right now that's locked up like so many things in our federal government system. But other countries around the world are taking effective measures towards ultimate disposal, and I have every confidence that our country will do that. In the meantime, nuclear waste can be stored safely at the sites, and it has been for many decades.
I want to mention, listeners, if you do want to join our conversation in the few minutes we have left, 800-222-9455 is the number. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. And we did hear from Troy on Twitter who says, the changes in energy production are no different than other technological advances throughout history. Adapt or be left behind. Mark Densler, how about that? What are the manufacturers, I mean, I presume they are a technologically minded bunch. Why is there maybe, you know, a lot of people are optimistic that, you know, maybe the wind won't blow, but solar, the people are exploring geothermal, nuclear. There are other sources of power that may come online in the coming decades that are going to be better, not just from a climate standpoint, but just from a, you know, a clean air standpoint, breathing. You know, there was a coal ash cloud drifting over Springfield a few weeks ago because of an equipment failure at the City Water Light and Power plant in Springfield. What do you say to people who say, you know, you're standing in the way of progress and more innovation in the, you know, move toward green energy?
Well, it's a great question, but I think manufacturers, as I mentioned at the outset, we're committed to finding ways to reduce costs and promote sustainability and develop these new energy solutions. Manufacturers are the ones that are actually innovating. As I mentioned, we've reduced emissions more than any other sector. And I was with ADM earlier this year and Eight Rivers Energy that announced a brand new 180 megawatt facility in Decatur using carbon capture and sequestration. Amazing innovation that would capture all of their emissions. Unfortunately, that project may not go forward because of this legislation, because of a hard sunset date where they would have to stop operating. But manufacturers are actually leading the way forward on innovation, whether it's companies like Rivian with their electric vehicles or Lion with their electric buses. But manufacturers are actually leading the way forward. We're not only using this technology, we're creating the technology.
Jen Walling, just a couple of minutes left in our program. You know, a couple of times a decade, there's one of these big pushes for major energy legislation, often led by the big utilities. We don't have to get into some of the, you know, problems that have been associated with that in the General Assembly around Commonwealth Edison and the former House Speaker. But what are you going to be watching for as this legislation is implemented to know whether things are on the right track or things may be getting off track? What are the things you're going to be keeping an eye on in the years ahead?
Yeah, this is, I think, the third major energy bill that has passed in the 10 years that I've been in this position at IEC. And we've gone through this before, but this is going to be the biggest. I think that we will be watching the Illinois Commerce Commission, Illinois Power Agency, as they enact certain portions of the bill. There's also new provisions in this for the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency that are things that they've never done before. So, you know, it feels like really exhausting, especially the stress from the past few months over this bill. But we have so much more work that we're going to need to do. We're going to need good quality people who are willing to do these things quickly in different positions and jobs within the administration, within agencies to get this done. So those are the things we're going to be working on and watching. It's going to be a lot of rulemaking, a lot of commenting, a lot of getting people involved. And you know, we involved tens of thousands of people in Illinois in passing this bill. And we're going to continue to need their help to get this done as quickly as possible for the state of Illinois.
All right, we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Jen Walling is Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council. We've also been speaking with Stephen Nesbitt, President of the American Nuclear Society, and Mark Densler, President and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Thank you all so much for being here with us on the 21st to talk about this energy legislation signed into law this hour by Governor J.B. Pritzker. And that is it for.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you again for being here. Yeah, and that is it for our show today. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I want to urge you to sign up for our texting group, Text the 21st. You can join by sending the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. Again, the word is TALK, 217-803-0730. We put questions to our listeners. We use the responses to inform our coverage behind the scenes and sometimes on the air, as you heard today. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.